You bow your heads with me. Kind loving Father, once again we thank you and praise you for who you are and for all that you do. And we pray that you will speak to us once again this morning as we prepare our hearts and minds for communion. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, one thing about having church service is that there needs to be communication between the pastor, you know, the speaker, and everybody else, you know, the ones who are doing music, those who are doing children's stories. Well, that didn't happen today. Yet, God seems to have a topic in mind. He's always in control of these things. Last week, for when we had our business meeting, I shared a little devotional with you, and I mentioned to you that at the Mercado residence, we were going through some struggles, and oftentimes these struggles get us discouraged. We're discouraged, and oftentimes these discouragements lead us to question God. Have you been there before? I've what God has taught me. I should know this, but we're often reminded by God of these things, is to look back, to look at how God has handled situations in your life in the past. How has God handled situations and your struggles in the past? Look back. So I've questioned God. Have you ever questioned God? It's okay to admit it. And I've always been the kind of person, Lucy will tell you, that I've always seen the glass half empty. Very pessimistic over the years. But I can think times when I was having real struggles and God has taken care of me. And how interesting it is that April shared that story about her husband and about that time when, you know, how are we going to pay the bills, and yet God made it all work out. Yeah, I have had situations like that, you know, when things, seem to be bad, and I don't know how I was going to handle things, and somehow God worked it out. Have you ever had an experience where maybe God has saved you from making a big mistake in your life? You were leading toward making a terrible decision, and just circumstances, the way he worked out providence, saved you from that. And when you look back, you say, man, really, I would have goofed up if I would have made that decision, but God somehow intervened. How about maybe times when you thought you might die because you were going to get in some kind of accident, and somehow God saw you through? I know I've had a number of those situations. In fact, when I was a paramedic, at least twice, I remember as I was driving that, you know, I thought, this is it. We're going to crash. We're going to get hurt. Somebody's going to get hurt. And I visualize it as if God took care of the ambulance and somehow made it pass through the little tiny area that I thought we were going to crash. Twice, at least, that happened. You know, God takes care of things. One way we can look back at how God handles things is by looking at scriptures, the stories in the Bible. And you know, Jesus wants to teach us to trust him, to have faith in him. He wanted to do the same for his disciples. He spent 3.5 years in teaching them that. And so we're going to look at a story in which Jesus wants to do just that. So let's go open our Bibles to Mark chapter 4. This is a story that some of you may be familiar with. But Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 39. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 39. From the New King James Version. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along the boat as he was. All other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him on and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Now, we can spend some time here. We're not going to spend a lot of time analyzing these passages, but I want you to put yourself in place of the disciples. The disciples were expert fishermen. This was not the first time they were found in a storm. They had been in terrible storms before, and now Jesus was with them. So they had seen the things that Jesus could do. They knew who Jesus was. Jesus is the Messiah. And for some reason, they become desperate in this situation. One could argue that perhaps this was the strongest storm they had faced, so they become desperate. Have you ever become desperate because the storm that you're facing seems just too strong? In the book Desire of Ages, Mrs. White on page 334 comments on this story. Notice what she says. "Those hardy fishermen had spent their lives upon the lake and had guided their craft safely through many a storm. But now their strength and skill avails nothing. They were helpless in the grasp of the tempest, and hope failed them as they saw that their boat was filling. Absorbed in their efforts to save themselves, they had forgotten that Jesus was on board." And I think that the issue there was that last statement. They had forgotten that Jesus was on board. And I think that oftentimes when we get desperate, it's for the same reason. Somehow we forget that Jesus said, "I will be with you always, even to the end of the age." So notice, she says that in an effort to save themselves. The disciples, as expert fishermen that they were, they did what they knew best. They handled it as fishermen do when they faced the storm. They fought against the storm. They used their oars. They threw the anchors. They tried to make it to shore, but nothing was working. Nothing was working. Does that sound familiar? There are times when we face the difficulties in life and we rationalize that somehow we are strong enough. Oh, I'm smart enough. I'm strong enough. I'm experienced enough to handle this. I don't need any help. You know, I this has been a struggle of mine over the years in asking for help, because I wanted to be the kind of man, the kind of husband that knew how to do things. You know, that's what a man does. That's what a father does. You know, you know how to handle these things. And when you don't, I mean, you get, I don't know what to do, but I don't want to ask for help. And I want to try to do and to use my own brain to handle this. And sometimes we face sin in our lives. Sometimes we face the struggles and difficulties, and we say, "I know how to handle it. I'm going to try to handle it. I don't need any help." And the more we fight against the storm, the worse it becomes. The more we try to get out of the quicksand, the deeper we sink in, don't we? Well, the disciples were desperate. They did everything they knew how to do, and somehow, when the boat was filling, when they said, "Maybe we're going to die here," then they suddenly remember they had not tried everything. They suddenly remember that they had forgotten the most important person that was in that boat. Mrs. White continues saying, "In their helplessness and despair, they cry, 'Master, Master.' But the dense darkness hid him from their sight. Their voices were drowned by the roaring of the tempest, and there was no reply. Doubt and fear assailed them. Had Jesus forsaken them?" Notice the question. Was he who conquered disease and demons and even death powerless to help the disciples now? Was he unmindful of them in their distress? You know, it is very easy to be critical of the disciples. I mean, after all, they were physically in the presence of the Messiah. They were with him 3.5 years. They had seen all the things that he did. Huh? Cure disease, resurrected the dead. They saw it. How can they doubt? How can they be so hard-headed? But don't we do exactly the same thing? True, we haven't been physically in the presence of Jesus. But I think that all of us here can testify the fact that we have seen him work in our lives. That if we have seen him intervene in our lives. In fact, we are at a vantage point, friends, because all we have to do is look back and see that Jesus already gave his life for us. If he was willing to die, to be rejected because of you, what else won't he do for you? Has he forsaken us? In verse 38, the question they asked, Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? That's a bold question. And you know, I imagine, you know, there's no comment until from the time period that they made that question to Jesus stands up and handles the situation. But I can imagine Jesus listening to that question and maybe looking at them. Really? You're asking that question? But again, oftentimes, in many ways, maybe not with those exact words, when we are in struggles, we ask God the same thing. Don't you care? Don't you care that I'm going through this, Lord? I'm having this financial difficulty. I don't know how to pay the bills. Lord, I'm facing this disease or I'm facing this surgery. Don't you care? I mean, you created heaven and earth. Surely you can help me out with this. I've said that. Notice how Jesus handled it. Verse 39, then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Jesus can handle your storm. He can handle your difficulty. Mrs. White says, and never did a soul utter that cry unheeded. And I wonder, have you asked Jesus? Have you cried out to the Lord yet? Or are you still trying to handle the situation by yourself? It's time to put down your oars. It's time to put away the sails and your anchors. It's time to trust Jesus. Maybe some of you have seen this painting by Harry Anderson. You know, he's made a number of paintings, and there was one particular painting where Jesus is on the wheel. And he's in the middle of a storm. You could see the wind is blowing, the water is splashing. There's people behind it, and in the middle of the storm, his face is calm and serene. Huh? People that are behind it, in the middle of the storm, they're fine because Jesus' hand is on the wheel. You know, there are many problems in our world today, problems in our society, difficult things. I mean, you know, school shootings and church shootings. And I mean, think about it. Imagine, who of you could have imagined 10 years ago that we would have to have some type of training in our church to respond to shooters? But that's the time we're living in. And these things seem to get worse, and we wonder, where is God in all this? Friends, his hand is on the wheel. He is in control. And you know, many of you, when you came to church this morning, maybe one of your brothers or your sisters greeted you and shook your hand and asked, how are you doing today? And you know, the normal response is, I'm doing fine. And you go on your way. I'm doing fine, yet your mind is on some problem that you're facing today. Your mind is on a bill you can't pay, and because the car is broken down and you don't know how to fix it. Your mind is on a surgery that it's upcoming and you're nervous about. Your mind is on the fact that your landlord is selling your house and you need to find a new place to live. Your mind is perhaps on your spouse or on problems with your children. Your mind is on a terrible, on a difficult decision that you have to make. But friends, his hand is on the wheel. He is in control. He can calm the storm in your life. You know, each of us will sail through violent seas, and perhaps many of you are sailing through the violent seas right now. And toss up and down, to and fro, we wonder if we can survive. How are we going to make it? His hand is on the wheel. There's a story about a little boy who was in a plane, and the plane was experiencing this violent turbulence. Any of you been in a plane with violent turbulence? Yeah, it's scary, isn't it? Scary. Well, there was a lady sitting by the little boy, and she was terrified. And she could not understand how this little boy, because he was sitting there playing with his toys, and she could not understand how this little boy could be playing with his toys and having fun when the plane is going through all this. And so she's looking at the boy, and she's trying to remain calm, but then suddenly she said, "Little boy, stop it." It's like, you're getting on my nerves now. How can you be so calm? How can you be having fun when the plane is going through all this? The little boy simply put his hand on her and said, "Lady, my dad's the pilot. And when your daddy is the pilot, you can handle the turbulence because you know your daddy has it all under control." Right? And the only way we can survive the struggles of life is by not trusting in yourself and your experience and your know-how, but trusting in Jesus. Nothing is too large for him. Nothing is too difficult or too small that is not important. He's interested in your life. If something is bothering you, if something is waking you up in the middle of the night, you can't sleep, take it to him. Cry out to him. He can handle it. He wants to handle it. He wants to give you peace. He wants to help you through your storm. And again, the evidence of that, and which we celebrate, commemorate today in the communion service, the fact that he gave his life for us. John said, "For God so loved Marcia. For God so loved Eric. God so loved Jim that he gave his only begotten son so that if all who believe may not perish but have everlasting life." That's what he did for you already. There is nothing greater that God can do than what he already did. Everything else is just peanuts. He can handle it. Do you believe it? I believe it too.